Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleagues, Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Colombia Legislature. She is in Bogota. And Joseph Umar, the Executive Director of Secure Free Society. He is in the Washington area. Both have just returned from a very successful visit to Texas, to CPAC in Dallas, Texas, where they met with their colleagues. We, however, are going to plunge their information from Texas into the breaking news in Latin America, which is dominated by disorder. I mentioned that the backdrop for all of this disorder is the virus. The reports in these last days are alarming. Not only is virus now in the southern temperate zone, it's coming winter. It is winter. Not only is it there, but it's a variant of the virus that is not now plaguing Europe, which is hobbled by the threat of the Delta virus. Well, this is the Lambda virus variant. And the scientists in Peru, the scientists in the Andean chain are very concerned about its spread. It's highly transmissible. I don't have a profile other than to say that there is, according to the Reuters report, no end in sight for the troubles of the virus creating all of this backdrop of disorder. A very good evening to you both. I begin with Cuba. The news from Cuba is surprising, and at the same time, we did speak of food security questions in Cuba several weeks past. That was raised by London reporting. The headlines alone tell the story. Cuban police patrol Havana in large numbers following rare protests. President Biden calls demonstrations, quote, a clarion call for freedom. Protesters rally in support of Cuban protesters in Miami's Little Havana for the second day. UN Rights Council silent on Cuban protests. Havana succeeds in passing an international solidarity measure. Senator, I begin your comments on Havana, on Cuba. Did this surprise you to hear about the protests, the challenge of the state authority in Havana? And to your mind, is this something we will see in other states, such as Nicaragua, such as Caracas, once they see the news from Havana of the people willing to take everything, to risk everything in order to push against an authoritarian state? Good day to you, Maria.
Hey, good day, John. We have to remember that Cuban dictatorship has just turned 62 years in power since Fidel Castro announced the revolution, the victory of the revolution over Batista, and he promised that he was not a communist. However, afterwards, he put in jail his very best friends who fought along with him against Batista, and he killed others. Remember also that 20 years were in jail Hubert Matos, Armando Valladares, who is still alive and living in Miami, and a Spanish guy, last name Gutierrez Menoyo, 20 and 21 years in jail because the former friends became enemies for Fidel Castro's mind. Today, Raul Castro, who inherited this absolutist monarchy in Cuba, turned 90 years old. So you just have to see 90 years old, a president that just gave the power to another puppet, and 62 years of dictatorship. Cuba is in absolute extreme poverty. People are living in extreme misery, and they don't have anything to lose. When you don't have, except your life, anything to lose but your life, doesn't value nothing because you don't have any chance of survive. And after COVID, you know, this get worse because Cuba is a broken country, always living by the help of somebody and always arguing that they are lack of food because of the U.S., our lack of everything because of the blockades. And remember that their propaganda has been very successful because they lie. Their lie is their main purpose of keeping this violent dictatorship. We hope that the riots gets on. We hope that it could move to another countries. But remember, John, that fear is the only sentiment they move to keep these horrible people in power.
Joseph, welcome. Maria's comments speak to the sweep of these decades of the trouble for the Cuban people. The puzzle here, was there one trigger you can analyze? That's what the Secure Free Society does. You do analysis and then you reconsider. Is there a driver? Is this, as Maria says, 62 years of frustration? These are young people in the street, I see from the videos we've had.
Yeah, John, that's actually a very key question. And I was a bit caught by surprise by the Cuban protests. Now, let me be very clear. I 100% support the Cuban people and their protests because they're literally the people of Latin America that have suffered the longest, as Senator Cabal had mentioned, 62 years under authoritarian rule, under communist rule. And they've had many uprisings throughout those 62 years. Unfortunately, none of them have been able to topple the regime. But to your question, John, I think we haven't seen this kind of spirit within the protests since 1994 in Cuba, and was something that was called the Maleconazo. And so what did that follow? 1994 followed the end, the fall of the Soviet Union, which is the largest benefactor to Cuba at the time. So right now, if we were to look at this as an analogous perspective, we may look at Venezuela perhaps being that benefactor that's lost, the Venezuelan ability to provide subsidies, to provide money, to provide a lifeline to Havana is not the same. Venezuela has obviously had an economic implosion over the last 5 years, and that might be where this trouble starts to begin for the regime in Cuba. We talked about food scarcity. We talked about all the other issues that they're having that they were able to sustain even under those poor conditions because they were getting high levels of subsidies from the Chavez and Maduro regime, and that money was being able to empower the regime to kind of keep a status quo. Now that they're not getting that money, is that what's triggering this new wave of protests? I can't say that with certainty, but I think that's something we're definitely going to look at. There's another scenario, John, that I think is important to mention, and we have to be very careful with this. There is also a precedence for the regime to provoke its own protests. They tried to get ahead of it, if you will. They tried to stay ahead of what could be a potential mass uprising, and they tried to subvert it by including their own agitators that essentially control the narratives around the protests. And that's the most important part, I think, of what's going on in Cuba right now is the narratives. Because, you know, besides the fact that there's shortages and besides the fact that there's the COVID and everything like that, those are definitely contributing elements. But at the end of the day, what the Cuban people are screaming is about freedom. And that's the main problem in Cuba. The main problem in Cuba is freedom. COVID and everything else are recent phenomena and contribute to the problems. But the main problem is that the Cubans don't have any freedom. But now there's efforts by other leaders in Latin America that are trying to spin the narrative and say this is not about the lack of freedom of the Cuban people. This is about the what they call the blockade, right? The embargo that the U.S. has against Cuba. So that narrative is going to be fought out. And I think that's important that we get the narrative right.
Yes, Joseph, I note that there are headlines saying that Cuba, speakers for Cuba, are blaming the United States for provoking this. My ironic comment is, if only the U.S. were so good. But the second part is, does that still work, Joseph, to blame the U.S. for everything, all disorders in Havana?
You know, not in Havana. It's not going to work in Havana. The question is it going to work with the international community? Is it going to work with the Europeans? Is it going to work here in the U.S. on the Hill within the within Congress? And it shouldn't work because I think it's basically a myth. You know, Cuba has a limited actually embargo with the United States. We still do have some levels of trade with Cuba, and Cuba's free to trade with almost the entire rest of the world. They don't have an embargo from Europe. They don't have an embargo from Canada. They don't have an embargo from the rest of Latin America. The reason that Cuba doesn't have high levels of investment and high levels of trade is not because of an embargo. It's because that their economic system doesn't work. So there's nobody's going to deposit money or to build a business in Havana or in Cuba if you can't move money or if you can't have consumer consumption. So that's the main problem. And so the narrative is going to be spun. They shouldn't. No one should really think that this is about an embargo or anything like that. But I think they're obviously going to amplify that. I've heard the president of Argentina make that comment. The president of Mexico has made that comment. And obviously I would expect Maduro and his folks to make those same type of spin on the narrative. But no, the embargo, it has nothing to do with this. This is about the Cuban people trying to liberate themselves from communism.
Speaking with Joseph Umar, the executive director of the Secure Free Society, and Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Colombia legislature. She's in Bogota. There's more disorder in Latin American and Caribbean democracy when we come back. Haiti and Peru. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.